You guys like Christmas presents? Christmas presents are fun. I like Christmas presents. It's fun to get presents. It's fun to give presents. And I remember as a kid, I know that I had things that I wanted. I know that I had things on my wish list. Do we got someone running PowerPoint back there? Working on it. When I was a kid, I know that I had things on my list, but I don't remember a lot of specifics, which is probably good. It probably means that I wasn't too materialistic as a kid. But I do remember one thing that it may have been on my Christmas list, and it was a Super Soaker squirt gun. Does anybody remember the Super Soaker? Yes, the Super Soaker was, I don't remember, it must have been the late 80s when it first came out, early 90s, sometime in there, when you wanted massive water power to handle the rest of the other kids in the neighborhood. And I've got a great picture of it, but we weren't ready with my PowerPoint. That's all right. When Charlie does PowerPoint, he has his own rig, and he just kind of sets it up, and he runs it himself. He's very self-sufficient. But I depend upon others. You know, the body of Christ working together, it's a good thing. I like to start off my messages with a picture. You know, and it's an attention getter. It's a way to kind of draw you in and help us relate to one another so that we can be on the same level here. That's kind of what I go for. But when I'm dependent upon the picture, it kind of leaves me a little flat. It's coming.
Christmas is coming.
So when you finally get the squirt gun, it's satisfying. And you have at least matched the other kids in the neighborhood. Maybe you've even gone a step up. The Super Soaker, there it is.
It was.
We'll get there. We're almost there. You pump it up, and you increase the pressure, and it has a large tank on the top, and you can hit somebody from a lot further away than with one of those little pew-pew guns, you know? And so you're able to keep up, and it's satisfying. It's life-changing for an 8-year-old or however old I was at the time. And I feel like life can be like that. That we get excited about something and we yearn for it and we put it on our Christmas list. And we say, oh, if only I had this, then my life would be complete. And you see the commercials or you see whatever it is. There's the Super Soaker. Compared to the next slide, this is probably what I had beforehand. It shoots about 3.5 feet versus the Super Soaker, which was like guaranteed to 22 feet. Something like that. I don't know. So it's satisfying for a while. You get it and you're excited about it, but I have a distinct memory in my mind of my Super Soaker with its muzzle broken off. They just don't last. Or you outgrow it, or you find out that they come out with a new model with two barrels on top, you know, or two water tanks on top. Or I remember one which had a backpack. That was the massive one. It held about 60 gallons of water, and like the kid couldn't even walk. It was so heavy. You just stay in one spot, and the other kids turn them around and squirt.
That's the adult person.
Yeah. But it's satisfying for a while. It helps you out for a while, and then it kind of wanes. It kind of gets a little bit passe, or maybe it breaks altogether, and it's not as fun. Well, obviously, we're going to tie this into Christianity somehow because this is church, right? I feel like our Christian life can be a little bit like that. Well, we can be excited for a while, and we can be passionate. We can see it as a new thing, and it's shiny and fun. And then it can kind of get a little bit old. And Christmas can get like that too. If you've been around and you've had a few Christmases, you kind of done it before. And you set up the tree. And now maybe some of you are Christmas lovers, and you're just like, oh, I can't wait to set up my tree every year. And like November 1st, you start playing the Christmas music or whatever it is. But there's only so many Christmas songs, and you put them on repeat, and Christmas can kind of get a little bit stale. So hopefully we can get our hearts to a place where it does have power, it does have newness, it does have a satisfying feel to it, where we can say, you know what? God did something good. And there can be excitement over Christmas when we realize what has happened. Because it's not necessarily a new thing, it's not shiny, it's not, you know, the latest, greatest. Well, maybe it's not the latest, but it is the greatest. It is the thing that changes our lives. It is the thing that really comes in and alters our perspective on the world. So let's pray and ask God to help us find this gift this Christmas. Lord, help us to find satisfaction in you. Help us to look beyond this world, look beyond the toys and the trinkets and the treasures that we could have here. Lord, help us not store up treasures in here, but help us find our treasure in you. Lord, help us find joy, find peace, find meaning in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Christmas story, the classic Christmas story, is found in Luke. And it was read some during the kids' Christmas program here. We're going to go back through it again. All right, so grab a Bible. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. This is the stuff we know. This is the details. Luke covered almost all of it that's there in this story. The history, he gets it. In chapter 1, we have the angel predicting John's birth and then Jesus' birth. We have Mary visiting Elizabeth. And then John's birth in chapter 1. It's a beautiful story. It sets the stage. It's the background. It's important for who Jesus is, for the prophecies and all that God has set up and put in place. And then chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. And that kicks it off. You know, when we gather as a family, we hand a Bible sometimes to the youngest kid and say, hey, read this. And they're trying to pronounce Quirinius. It's exciting. And then Jesus is born in verse 7. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him tightly in cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Jesus is born. God come to earth. And that's it. That is the culmination of God's plan, but yet he wants to celebrate it and he wants people to know. Does he send out word to the king? Does he get all of the royals involved? Does he make this big proclamation throughout the entire land? No. Nope. He sends his messenger to a group of lowly shepherds, not exactly the high class. They're the blue-collar folks living outside of town with their sheep, working on Christmas. Let's read in verse 8. It says, in the same regions, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flocks. They probably weren't the high-ranking shepherds. They probably were the low guys on the totem pole, keeping watch over their flocks. Then an angel, a warrior of light of the Lord, stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You think about being out there, it's dark. Maybe it's even a full moon, but still, it's dim, and you're keeping an eye on the sheep. You're listening. You're aware. Hopefully, maybe you're dozing a little bit, and then suddenly, boom, this brilliant light, this angel, and the glory of the Lord, the praise, the acclaim, the famousness of God shows up in visual form, and they're terrified. It's an overwhelming situation. But the angel says to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them, they returned to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And then later on, the shepherds go and they tell Mary and Joseph what happened. And in verse 21, they say, this child is going to be named Jesus, just like they said. And then the story rolls on from there. The whole of Jesus' life is laid out. But I think what is presented to these shepherds is helpful to us. It's helpful for us to kind of distill this story down and say, okay, so what is God's gift here? What is this exciting thing? What can I pull from this passage at Christmas time to give myself something to hang on to? Well, I think he's got four things, four examples here, four proclamations, four gifts for us. The first one, to the shepherds, they were told, don't be afraid. It's so easy for us to be fearful. This is good news of great joy for all people. So the reason to not be afraid is that there's good here. This is a good message, good news. It's good. And I don't know what kind of situation you are facing, but sooner or later, we all face things that are overwhelming, that are exhausting, that are terrifying, where we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. And I think that the answer always eventually is yes, but there is good news. Because the terrifying, the overwhelming, the exhausting, whatever we go through in life finds its end when this life finds its end. And the fact that there is good news of great joy for you and for me and for everyone who would have faith is an amazing thing. For Jews and Gentiles, for slaves and free, for young and old, for anyone and everyone. God has good news of great joy for all. Don't be afraid. So what is this news? A Savior is born. The Messiah has come. The promised one. The Israelites had known that this was coming. They had listened to the prophets. They were waiting. They were eager for it. But it had been years. It had been decades. It had been centuries of waiting. And you got to wonder how tired they were of waiting. We can get so tired of waiting. It says that for God one day is like 1,000 years. Well, it can just feel like our whole lives can be spent waiting. And that's how it was for the Jews. They spent lifetimes, generation after generation after generation waiting. But God brings about his plan at the right time. The Jews needed a Savior. The world needed a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. And he came. A Savior is born to you, who is the Messiah, the promised one. Messiah means the anointed one, the one who was to come. And he also says, the Lord, God come in the flesh as a little baby. He is the final deliverer. There's so many places in this book. There's so many deliverers who came before. So many people who rescued the Israelites, who beat back their enemies, who did this and who did that, who foreshadowed who was to come. And then he finally came. A Savior is born. We need this gift. We need this Savior. We need to rejoice in this, that God has brought his Savior for us, for you and for me. So how do we respond? the angels responded. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." So we bring glory to God too. We bring praise to him. We say, "God, you are amazing. You are fantastic. You are wonderful. You've done such good by bringing Jesus. And you bring peace to us." Peace. Peace. A break from war, a break from strife, from conflict. We all want peace. You know, I don't necessarily ask for a squirt gun these days. I just like some peace. It's so wonderful just to have calm and quiet and be able to take a break from all of the stuff that can get piled up. Whether it's house projects, or, you know, is my car going to start in the cold, or I got a shovel, or, you know, this or that, or this or that, the other thing, struggles at work, whatever it might be, we all have stuff that fights at us, that erodes our sense of calm and peace. God wants to bring us peace. We can lean into that. We can have peace. It's a wonderful gift from God. So what did the shepherds do? I think that this is a call to us too. The shepherds went in faith. They believed the message and they went to see the baby. And I think in a similar way, we can go in faith. We can take action based on what we believe. And I think that this is important. We should react to the message. We should have a response, whether that's in faith, just saying, "You know what, God, I believe you." But then that faith should trickle down into what we actually do, how we actually live, how we interact with the people around us, what we do and what we say. If we hear and don't react, well, then either we don't believe, or intellectually we think we believe, but we're not doing anything about it. It's just not right. And whether you can have true faith and not act on it, well, I don't know, that's kind of debatable. We must act on what we believe. It's like trusting a bridge to hold your weight but never crossing it. We should act on what we believe. We should say, "You know what? God is real. Jesus came. He died for me. He gave me new life. I should live for him today." And that means loving my neighbor. It means helping somebody in need. It means forgiving somebody for the wrong that they've done me. It means working to get along. It means having faith. These are the things that I think the Christmas story teaches us and helps us with. I think these are wonderful gifts for us. I think we can be confident in God, have a confidence in him that calms our fear. When he says, "Don't be afraid," we can believe that because he's in control. We can know this Savior that's available to us wherever we are, whoever we are, no matter how long we've known him, his saving power is still at work in our life. We can bring glory to God, and we can have this peace that goes beyond anything that we could understand. We can find salvation in him, and we can go in faith. May these truths find their way into our hearts today. Help us enjoy him at Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. Help us celebrate you. Help us to be quick to acknowledge you. Help us to be quick to say a prayer in faith and trust you. Lord, help us have tender consciences to your nudging during this season. Lord, as we spend time with family, as we have people who may rub us the wrong way, or hardships that can get us down, help us be quick to look to you, to turn to you, to ask you for help, to trust you with what's bugging us. And help us enjoy you. I pray that you are more satisfying than any gift that we could ever get, that any feeling that we could pursue, Lord, that you would satisfy us and we would enjoy you forever, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, God, at Christmas time. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas, guys. Have a good day.